Thank you, Pastor. Be seated. Please be seated. I got my supplies, my chapstick, and my water. So, hi. It's so nice to look out on family tonight. Thank you for being who you are. And just thank you, Pastor, for letting me do this and appreciate it. I really do. So I want to start off with a little story that John Maxwell shared about a lonely woman who purchased a parrot from a pet store. After only one day of having it, she returned it to the store and told the keeper how disappointed she was with it. "That parrot has not said a word yet," she lamented. "Does it have a mirror?" asked the storekeeper. "Parrots like to be able to look at themselves in the mirror." So the lady bought a mirror and took it home. The next day, she was back again, reporting that the bird still wasn't speaking. "What about a ladder?" the storekeeper asked. "Parrots enjoy walking up and down a ladder." So the parrot owner bought a ladder and returned home. On the third day, she was back again with the same complaint. "Does the parrot have a swing?" Birds enjoy relaxing on a swing. So she brought the swing and went home. The next day, she returned to the store and announced that the bird had died. "Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear that," said the storekeeper. "Did the bird ever say anything before it died?" She said, "Yes, actually it did. It said, 'Don't they sell any food down there?'" Sometimes we forget what's really important in life. We get so caught up in things that are good while neglecting the things that are truly necessary. So you get it. Sometimes, just like that lady, we miss the obvious. The definition of obvious is easily perceived or understood, clear, self-evident, or apparent. So when you hear the words, "God is your Father," that's pretty obvious, right? It's easy to understand. It's clear. It's apparent. Well, I thought it was pretty clear, too, until about a year ago when I was introduced to the concept of the orphan spirit. Now, when I first heard the term orphan spirit, I thought, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't have to worry about that. I have a family, a mom and a dad. Dad's here tonight. Hey, Dad. So happy. But Annie was my picture of an orphan. She was my idea. The orphan, from the Greek word orphanos, is someone whose parents have died, are unknown, or have permanently abandoned them. Another definition that we're going to refer to tonight is one deprived of some protection or advantage. The truth is, this whole orphan thing started back in the garden when the enemy set that trap, getting Eve to doubt. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God in the garden. When sin entered, they had to leave. That disobedience caused the separation between God and man. The consequence? They lost that beautiful, close, intimate relationship they once had with God himself. They were, in a matter of speaking, orphaned. They had lost their home. They had lost their inheritance. They had no source of provision. They now had to work and earn. They were subject to a new world. This is where the roots of rejection, abandonment, shame, fear, bitterness, loneliness started. Before the fall, man did not experience these emotions. Fast forward. So thankfully, God, with his amazing love for us, has provided a way for us to come back into that loving, intimate relationship with him by salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says, "If you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved." Paul expands on this in Galatians 4. He says, "When the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." A central truth that Jesus brought to the world was that God is our Heavenly Father, filled with great longing to reconcile us to himself. It's not enough for God that we will be forgiven. He desires that we will receive that spirit of adoption and so be restored into full sonship and relate to him as Abba Father. Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:15, "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. This word, Abba, does not refer to the formal title of a father, but to the tender, intimate name that best translates daddy or papa in our modern context. It was used by Paul in these two scriptures as an intimate term to characterize his personal relationship with God. The only other time God's title of Abba Father is found is referenced in Mark 14:36, when Jesus said, "Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Abba Father is an intimate name used to describe their personal relationship with God. Salvation, or being saved, believing with your heart, confessing with your mouth, is the restoration of both sonship rights and sonship intimacy. He desires us to experience this right now in this life. Unfortunately, we can persist in orphan thinking. We can have a spiritual condition in which we profess outwardly to know God as Father, but experience an internal contradiction to that belief. We are still sons and daughters who sometimes live with orphan mentality. Deep down, we can struggle to comprehend that God actually loves us. We may harbor feelings of abandonment or fear, unworthiness or rejection. And here's something that we need to consider in all this. That same enemy, the serpent, the enemy of God and Adam and Eve, helps to twist things to make us feel like orphans. He's still at it today, wanting nothing more than for you and I to be separated from God, for us to feel like orphans, to act like orphans, and to live like orphans. Remember that definition of an orphan we're working with tonight, one deprived of some protection or advantage. The enemy would like nothing more than to deprive us of that protection or advantage of knowing God as Father. Just like in the days of Adam and Eve, the enemy is still roaming around, planting seeds of doubt. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." We need to stay alert to the signs and symptoms and characteristics of an orphan heart or spirit. So let's look at some of those characteristics of an orphan. We could say that orphans don't know much about their identity, who they are, who they belong to. They have no security about who will take care of them. They have no one to cherish or treasure them. They lack a family to lean on for help or comfort. They can't or don't trust anyone. They don't interpret reality correctly. They see things through the lens of abandonment, rejection, or disappointment. They're always looking for approval and recognition. They can have a huge void in their heart. The orphan mentality is one of striving and loneliness. I have to make this happen. I have to figure out a way. Unfortunately, there are situations and circumstances in life that prime us for some of that thinking. Some of us have had parents that have let us down. Some of us have had caregivers who harmed us or let others harm us. Some of us have come out of chaos. We experience different traumas in life. We have had relationships that hurt us. We may have even had the actual experience of having to do it all on our own. I was a single mom for many years, doing it on my own, till I met that hunk of man over there. Hey now. Oh, hi. 3, 5, 6? They don't know. But really, these situations, it was for you, Amy, and Cheryl, where are you? But really, these situations or circumstances can be anything that pushes us out and makes us feel like we have been abandoned or deprived of protection. We all have these experiences in common. We have all been let down, abandoned, rejected at one time or another in our lives. And those experiences, if we let them, can drive us away from that intimacy with God. But the word says, again, when we are saved, we have the restoration of both sonship rights and sonship intimacy. We can experience this right now. So why don't we? Why do we persist at times in that orphan thinking, and what can we do about it? Why do we have that gap between Jesus saving us and all that we inherit from him, and the disconnect about God being our loving Father and the ability to enjoy that intimate relationship? I believe one of the reasons we allow orphan thoughts in is fear. Simply put, fear is the opposite of truth, of faith, I'm sorry. God wants us to walk by faith, and Satan wants us to walk by fear. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion. He roars that he might make us afraid. Did you know that the roar of a lion can actually paralyze its prey, causing it to be an easy target? If Satan can create fear in us, we become easier prey for him to destroy. He roars things at us, and it's interesting. His roar is usually a whisper that can paralyze us. God doesn't love you. How could he? You're a mess. You're not enough. You're an accident. Look, your own parents don't even love or care for you. Look what happens when you love others. You get hurt. You need to protect yourself. Shame on you for what you did. You will be exposed. Oh, those church people, they'll never accept you when they find out what you really are. So why bother? They'll reject you just like the others. You are not good enough. From the seeds of doubt to the full roar of the enemy, remember his main goal is to separate you from God, to push you out from under that love God has for you. Well, God says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And do you know that the Bible gives us the admonition to fear not a full 365 times in various forms? So how do we combat this orphan spirit, that fear? Well, it certainly is not in our own strength. There are certain things we must do. We do have to take care of business. But the thought that we are alone with no resources to help or draw on, that's orphan thinking at its finest. We need a spiritual experience with God that permeates our souls and revolutionizes our view of our Father God. There's a tiny little book, The Practice of the Presence of God. It's a collection of notes and letters and interviews given by Brother Lawrence, who served in a monastery in Paris in the 1600s. Brother Lawrence shows us how to develop a conversational relationship with God right in the middle of our ordinary life, and I would highly recommend it. I love how Brother Lawrence describes his personal relationship with God. This King, full of mercy and goodness, very far from chastening me, embraces me with love, invites me to feast at his table, serves me with his own hands, and gives me the keys to his treasures. He converses with me. He takes delight in me and treats me as if I were his favorite. Whew, that's right, Kathy Miller. Let that soak in. Our ever-present King embraces us, invites us, serves us, converses with us, takes delight in us, and gives us grace upon grace. Psalm 23 is familiar to most of us, but as I read it tonight, listen for the intimacy between King David and God. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That really stood out to me. Did you know that in Eastern culture, at a banquet, hosts were expected to protect their guests at all costs? God, in fact, has already overcome our enemies and gives us the privilege of coming to sit and rest at the table that he has prepared for us. God offers us that same protection of a host when enemies surround us. Protection from what? Attacks of the enemy by way of thoughts, actions of others, whatever comes. He is our protector. Think about that. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. I started to imagine approaching his table. I imagined what I saw and heard there. I imagined him speaking to me his promises. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I will give you strength when you are weary. No weapon forged against you will prevail. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. I have compassion for you. Darkness, sorrow, brokenness, shame, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstance, whatever you're afraid of, he has set a table and he invites you to come. If you're hurting, he says, come. If you have sorrow, he says, come. If you have messed up, he says, come. If you feel disconnected from God, he says, come. If you can't feel his presence, he says, come. Come and stand in his love. He will not let you be shaken. Come to the table that he prepares just for you, to this intimate place where he will wrap his beautiful love around you. He will not let you be shaken. Come, you don't have to fend for yourself. Let me show you a different way to fight your battles. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for doubting you. I'm so thankful that in your greatness, you understand our human hearts. You are loving and you have mercy on us. You are a wonderful Father. And just like that prodigal son, you are excited when we come back to you. You run out to meet us. Lord, tonight we surrender our fears to you, Abba Father. Let us feel your embrace. Let us know you are with us, that you will never forsake us. Lord, we honor you and worship you. I thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Abba, Father, we pray you inhabit the praises of your people.